Hey there, welcome to ABVA's member-centered event. Hang out with us today as we chat with members of the community addressing the challenges of the typical African creative.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you so much and thank you everybody for joining the space. How you are doing? I'm sure you guys are doing okay, irrespective of whatever it is we're passing through in our countries, but we're doing okay. Today, we have an interesting guest in the house, and I'll start with my name first. And my name is Guinevere, and I'll be the host for today, and this is ABVA, everything that has to do with podcasting and creativity with the voice and the pods and radios is all about us. So, without any further ado, Dr. Empress, do we have you here? Okay, so while we wait for her to get that sorted, let's just go over a little bit about our guest for today. And already, the first thing that attracted me to her is that she's a writer, she's a poet, and I am too. Yay! So I'm actually looking forward to have a very in-depth conversation with her and her interest and what she's looking out to do. And there is a big news coming up from her, and I guess a lot of us will be very happy to engage with her works and her thought patterns, thinking, and what she has to offer us. So, yeah. Her name is Dr. Empress, and I need to say everything in full. Dr. Empress Rose Green is a serial entrepreneur, innovator, creator, and motivator. Her professional expertise are within the athletics, podcast, and radio presenter. Oh my God, we have so many things in common already. She's into music and film producing. She's a motivational speaker and author, as well as well-rounded business, humanitarian, and multilingual internationalist, whose passionate works emphasizes her dedication to community. That is already taking my breath away. We have so many things in common, and that is so cute. She's an award-winning independent filmmaker, guys, and she's the host of the award-winning Sports Wars 2020 and the Infectious One-on-One Music Review, Music Connect Africa, and Good Morning New York. Live radio and podcast weekly shows that highlight the musical works of artists across the globe. So, guys, she's a music enthusiast, and we would also like to get her insight on the music industry in Africa. I'm sure she has a lot of things to say. And she hones a career that exhumes an explanatory missions that emphasizes all the world is a stage. So from her perspective, the whole world is her stage, and she is just having fun with expressing herself with all of the talents and everything that she has. Now, hi, Dr. Empress. Nice to meet you here.
Hello.
You see, I'm already a fan. I'm smitten by you, because just reading your about makes me want to, like, should I say the word date and nobody will be offended right here?
Yeah.
Like, this is so cute. How in the world are you all of this and still get this together? Tell us about it.
Boy, I tell you. Well, I always tell persons, well, before I start, thanks to everyone who is actually here. I know some persons are responding to me right now that they're coming in. And since I have the international community, sometimes they catch them off guard because they are on different time zones.
Oh, so yeah.
As other persons file in, for myself, I would say, I do, I'm able to do the amount of things that I do because I am talented. So it's actually like I'm not working, you know, I'm just having fun. That's what they say.
Wow.
You have the best fun. It is you're not working. So I am able to do those things because, I've been doing most of the things since a very young age.
So in Africa, we have this cliche of talking to people about their expertise, and they usually start from, I have been doing this from a very, very young age, from when I was young, And then when you want to drill deeper, they usually pick the numbers of 5 to 8. Just few of them go to 10 and 12. So let me drill deeper. How young were you when you started all of this?
From even for like poetry and songs, I started writing, I would say maybe around 7 years old.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. I
Uh,
see,
very,
guys,
very
you
young.
see, I'm a researcher. I got my facts straight.
Yeah.
She's an African already because she got our cliches. So yeah, welcome on
Yeah.
board. So let's start with the first thing that drew us to you about your writing. I would like to know what influenced
Yes.
you and where do you draw your inspirations from?
I am truly inspired by and motivated by the fact that I have been through so many things throughout my lifetime, and being able to help others as well. I think first and foremost, I'm a humanitarian, so that I attribute to the various things and persons that I've helped throughout this lifetime as well, and still continue to do that as well. I think that's my mission. I don't think I that is my mission, to help others. So I use my talent to help others in various capacities.
That is amazing. Do you want to tell us one experience you've actually gone through that has actually impacted you so much, and we would see that trend in your writing? Is that something you're willing to share with us?
Yes, I well, what happened is that I took eight stories, eight motivational stories that from when I was born until a certain period in my life. And those stories will be in the form of a book that will be out in the stores for July. Now, from those stories that I've written and for the book to come out in July, I summarize each chapter. And so each poem is a summarization of each chapter. And then to take it a little bit further, there's eight variations of those poems. But it's res in response to your question, one of the poems that I said, one poem that I sent you guys, and the one that was highlighted there, had to be during a period where it is that at some point during our life, during our adult life, we come to some realization that, okay, we have to decide where do we go from here. Are we going to continue on that path, whether it be education, relationship, or otherwise? For myself, it is that I was training for the Olympics. I was a very good athlete in high school, primary school, and leading up to professional status. And I was training for 2004 Olympics, and I got injured. And at that time, when I got injured, I was misdiagnosed. So originally they thought it was a sprain. I was in a cast. And I got out of the cast and I started training, still trying to make the Olympic trials. And what I didn't know was that I was running on fractured bones
Oh my.
because I was misdiagnosed. So my ankle was broken in four places and I didn't know. And in order to repair that injury, I was given two choices. One, I had to snap, they could snap it back in place, but I would have to stay off of it for a year, for up to a year. Or the next thing was to put screws within my ankle. But because I was doing great times and I didn't want to, with the screws in, I would have limited or no movement. So I decided to go the route of snapping it back in place and to do the, therapy, physical therapy, and to stay off of it for a year. But what was supposed to be a year turned into almost 2 years, a year and 11 months. So I was immobile for that period of time.
Oh my God. I am so
So the
sorry.
poem, it's okay. So the poem that you have and that will be highlighted here today is about that period in time. And is also based on Cora Miller, who is a great writer, Five Strengths of Wisdom.
Oh my God. That's deep. That's really deep.
Yeah.
I felt like a lot of us who have gone through any kind of situation where we see our future or our passion, our dream, and then all of a sudden it's taken away from us, whether by accident or deliberate orchestration from others or life or whatever, can really relate to that path in time. Because seeing how you, I can't imagine the anger you had to go through, especially with the doctors that misdiagnosed you. If I were the one, I'll try to punch them in the head, in my head, 10 times or more. And I am so sorry you had to go through that, but we're looking actually forward to diving into all of these conversations with you. But first of all, thank you everybody for joining on ADVER. And in case you're wondering what ADVER is all about, we are the Association of African Podcasters and Voice Artists. It is a community-driven organization that seeks to discover, amplify, and celebrate African voice audio creatives. Yeah, we are so creative and talented, and we want to share it with the world. So thanks so much for joining this platform. And so you know, we are already dedicated and to fostering the growth and development of the audio creative industry in Africa. And you are welcome to partner with us or be part of us. Just send us a DM and we are part of you because we want you to grow, okay? So now we have Dr. Empress on the spot and she has a beautiful book coming out. And before we talk about the book and talk about her writing, we just had a dabble into the writing part and she has experiences, guys, a lot of experience. Would like to share with her, but first she's an entrepreneur and we want to find out how that works, and she's a doctor. I'm going there. I don't know if it's academic or actually a studied doctor, like a medical field, but she's a doctor, guys. So let's start with the entrepreneurship. How did you start it and what influenced you into doing that?
Well, at a very young age I decided I wanted to have my own business. So part of it was deciding the things that we do. So my parents are both from the medical profession, both doctors. My dad has passed away. My mom is still alive. So what happened is at a very young age, we would actually be sitting at the table for dinner. And so we'll always be asked, like, what do we want to do when we get older? And so all my brothers and sisters would say, oh, I want to be a doctor, because my parents are doctors. And so with myself, I would be like, I want to run track. I want to do music. I want to have my own business. And I just kept on going on the line. I was like, stop. You can't do all of that. You cannot do all of that. You have to pick one. And I would always say, no, I want to do whatever I say. And so my punishment was always to wash the dishes. Oh, so, you know, I was always washing dishes because I will never pick one. Okay. So so that was that. So I would always be on punishment. And that was that. So I it's interesting because about 4 years ago, I was driving my mom and she started laughing. I said, what's so funny? And she says, you remember when you used to sit at the table? I used to ask you the question, what you would like to be. And you would always just laugh in terms of, you know, you would always tell us like 4 or 5 things you wanted to do. And we said no. And I started laughing. I said, yeah, I remember. And I used to be on punishment all the time. And she said, but it's interesting. You did everything that you said you wanted to do. You're the only child who did everything you said you wanted to do.
That's amazing.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. And what's the most, there are a lot of businesses you're into personally. Mm-hmm. So which of those business would you say actually impacts you the most?
I think all of them has their place.
Yeah, I think you need to wash the dishes again. You have to pick one.
But here's why. It's because each of them is like, I'm a humanitarian. So it doesn't matter which one I pick. I'm always there to help and bring someone along the way. Hmm. And it always leaves an impact. So I think like even the social media platforms are confused. And I've been told that before. They're confused because, like, how much stuff does she do over here? And is she for real? Right?
Wow.
Is she real? And is she actually doing those things? And it's like, yes, it is happening, right? For the music itself, I've been doing it for a very long time. I've been doing this since primary school. I've been writing songs. I have books from primary school.
Wow.
That I've written songs. Yes, that I've saved. That I have books from then. And with that, I don't want to give away everything, but with part of like even doing the film for this book, because there will be a film, it shows the books that I still have that has notes written in them, that shows songs that I've written since I was 7, 8, 9 years old in them. So I've been doing this for a long time. So for me, for somebody to call me and say, Rose, I want you to write a song, it's like nothing to me. Yeah. What do you want it? What do you want it to be about? What's the theme? Whatever. I got you. Okay. And then as well, I grew up listening to Lucky Dubé, Bob Marley. So my favorites are Lucky Dubé, Bob Marley, Elton John. He's very musically inclined. Houston, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened is I learned the notes to the music. I learned the instrumentation. I learned all of that. So before I went full-fledged in the music by going into a studio, I already knew those things. So they were going into a studio. I'll never forget the first time I went into a studio was my first boyfriend, I would say. And he took me to the studio. He's the artist. He took me to the studio. And when they were recording him, and I kept on saying to the engineer, no, this is what you need over here. This is how you do it. And the guy finally said to me, say, have you been in a studio before? I said, this is my first time. And he was shocked because he was taking directions from me all this time. And he says, how are you able to tell me what you're telling me if this is your first time in a studio? And that's when I explained to him, you know, I studied instrumentation and the notes and everything or whatever, and just have the ear for music time. So everything was just second nature. Me going in and being able to put together and make a beat was nothing to me. So, yes, that in its sense, I capture that. In terms of the athleticism, I've been doing it since a very young age as well. So, yeah, to run 100 meter, I don't care how old you are. If you're 20 years older than me, it's just the thing with sprinters and the volume that you have trained. If you step on the line, and we're doing a race, I'm going to give it 100%. You better beat me to the finish line. I don't care if you're 20 years younger than me. That's the competitive spirit within me.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's that. And so now I get into writing programs for some of the athletes across the world. So I write some of their programs, even though I'm not physically there training some of the athletes. I actually write their programs, some that train for the Olympics and on some that train for the national championships. In terms of the film, I just started doing film in 2020.
Wow.
2020 was, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm listening. As you were saying.
I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually impressed. And the question that's about to come up in my mouth is, how in the world do you do everything? How do you juggle the hats? How do you maneuver through all those things and not get overwhelmed?
It can be overwhelming. Most recently, I would say within the past 3 months, I've experienced being overwhelmed. But the reason why I became overwhelmed was because of outside forces, not because of what it is that I do, because I've always been able to control the amount of things that I do. I probably got every day, I would say, the norm, I'm getting about 4 hours to 5 hours sleep. And someone would say, 4 to 5 hours? Are you kidding me? But there are persons who know me, and I speak to them every day, or maybe 3-4 times a week. There's like three persons that I speak with during the week. I don't speak to, I'm an introvert, so I don't like talking to a lot of people. And when I do, it has to be meaningful conversation. So that's why we're here today. Having this conversation. So I am sleeping 4 to 5 hours a day, and I attribute that to eating well, being in my own space and be able to be in my control space, not being controlled by social media or by other persons. Because when you talk about social media, it can become very intuitive, very in your face and take you out of your element as well. So yeah, I'm speaking to like 3 persons on a weekly basis that are within my circle, those 3 persons. And I'm sleeping 4 to 5 hours, but I attribute that to, I've been doing this for years, one, and two, eating directly from the ground. So you find that you're eating your food directly from the ground and not necessarily fast food, because fast food bogs you down. Natural food, you're going to get some of your, you're going to get your energy from the food that you're putting in your body. And I eat directly from the ground, meaning that I eat potatoes, yam, banana. That's what I do. Yeah.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And I'm just going to bring the touch to your writing back. And we know that poetry is a powerful tool, and it can create change in the society. It can bring to light the pains and become a voice for the people who can speak up. And it's so beautiful to see an introvert speaking up with poetry. Okay, so the first question is not really a question, just I want you to talk to us about your poetry book coming out soon. Like, what influenced you to do all those things, and what should we expect when we open that page to read into your mind? And well, what message is the most important in all of the voices we would hear from those pages?
Okay,
I hope I didn't ask a million questions in one.
That is a loaded question. It is a loaded question that yes. The poetry book, firstly, what made me decide to do the poetry book was because I've come across so many persons that actually call my phone. Remember, there's like 3 persons I speak to on a regular basis weekly. But that doesn't mean that there are persons that are not going to connect with me. When I turn my WhatsApp off, the world is awake for some reason.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm getting messages here, there, and everywhere. And so you have some persons who may contact me and feel as if that I see her online. How come she didn't respond? Well, you're one of maybe 5.
You speak to preaching to the choir.
Yeah, you're maybe one of like 50 persons who is not once, and I'm have to decide or go down the numbers and decide who to respond to. And then consider yourself between those 50 messages that 49 of them is like, can you help? Well, a third of them is like, can you help me because I don't know where my next meal is coming from? Consider another one third that is saying, my vibration is very low right now, and I look to you for support in talking to me or helping me to go along. Most recently, 2 weeks ago, I woke up and I didn't do anything for like 8 hours. I was just staring in space. And I was like, wait a second. I didn't even tell the world that I'm here for this job, but somehow it's given to me where persons are looking to me to like really help them to get over a hump. And it's not, so some is about money, and then the next one is not about money. It's just people are looking support to have a conversation with them. And in terms of the responses, I'll be thinking to yourself like, maybe I should add another profession to that, because if I'm going to give advice in terms of, you know, being that person that is actually helping you through, maybe I want to add psychology to it as well. I don't know. Yes. So I decided, you know what? So let's think of some motivational things that I've been through that can help the masses, to let them know if I've been through this, And it has been a very hard life. It was never easy for me. Where some persons may say they have a trust fund and all of that, and someone helped them. Let me, with my story, help to motivate and inspire others to learn about, you know, to motivate them and to say, listen, you can do this. So that's the first part of the response. The second part in the response itself is, yes, the stories are, the poems are quite interesting. There are eight poems, and there are eight variations of those poems. So, for instance, you'll have like a haiku, and it starts from when I was born up to a certain point in my life. So the very first poem is a haiku.
Wow. Okay.
His very first poem is a haiku. So for persons who don't know what, who aren't aware what a haiku is. So a haiku is an Asian form of a Japanese poetry.
Poetry style.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And it became very popular, you know, within various years. So sometimes when you talk about poem, the first thing the first thing that comes to person's mind is an haiku as well. But for each poem, there are rules as well. And that, and the masses, when you think of poetry, a lot of persons don't even realize that, oh, there's rules to writing a poem? You got to be kidding me. Yes. You know, for a haiku, it doesn't necessarily have to rhyme. However, is that, what should I say? It consists of three lines. And those three lines is called a terset.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a terset. So the first and the third line has five syllables. And the second line has seven syllables. So that's just
kind of a mathematical thread in there.
Yes, yes, yes. And each of them, they have different rules that go, that what makes them a certain poem. So I am within all the poetry itself, I chose to do eight variations to make it more interesting. So I have a haiku, I have a sonnet, limerick, acrostic, villanelle, an ode, a ballad, and an elegy. I did the elegy, which is a ninth poem, but I did it as a dedication. So when I released the book, the dedication, which is dedicated to my dad who passed away, that's what it's going to be. And an elegy, the subject of that poem is about death. So I chose to do that as a dedication and a bonus poem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yes, it's usually written about someone who has passed away. Or you can do it about a group of people. So I chose to do that elegy and to use it as the dedication for the book to my dad, because he has passed
away. That's really beautiful.
It's a creative, the creativity in me, I said.
It's really beautiful. And I'm sure your dad will be so happy and proud that you're doing everything you wanted to do.
Yes.
And you're making him proud. I'm so happy. So I'm your dad's mouthpiece now. Daughter, I'm proud of you. That's not his voice though, but yeah. That is amazing. That is so amazing that you had to do all of that. So, and you said you just started your film?
My first time doing film was in 2020, when the COVID came around. I had produced an album for a Zimbabwean artist. And after, you know, investing so much money within the project, here comes COVID, and I'm like, oh wow, here I just invested into venues and stuff like that for the artists to perform and stuff, and as I realized, well, I've lost my money, I'm not gonna get it back, what do I do next? And I decided to do a documentary based on the album itself and the tracks that make up the album and all of the above. And I received 64 nominations for the film, and I won 43. So
that is amazing.
Yeah. So that helped me to, you know, think, whoa, here it is, my first documentary. And I got what? Okay. It was not just that as well. I didn't include this story in the book, but quite interesting. the third day that I released the film, I had about maybe about 232 views on the film. And a lady reached out to me and she called me and I'm like, okay, hi. She says, well, I'm calling about the film that you released. I says, okay. By now I'm not happy because I'm like, it's 3 days, 232 people, what happened? And so she says to me, she says, you know what? I'm hearing some discouragement in your voice based on that, your film. I said, no, I'm not discouraged. She said, no. She said, let me tell you something. You remember this. It's not about how much people see the film. As she says, here's what. You're comparing the film to, like, say, a music video, because I get to understand that you work within the music industry. So you're comparing it. Your film is 28 minutes. The regular time for a music video is roughly 3 minutes. So here you have here you have just done something that's like 9 to 10 times more the time. And you have to hold the audience. She says, I'm looking at your film right now and there's 230 something persons that watch it. You should be grateful. Remember, it's not how many persons watch that film. It's about the right persons who saw the film.
That's true. That's word.
Yeah. And then, you know, the numbers kept going up within the days after that. And then, you know, the nominations start to roll in. And I was like, wait a second, is this for real? So, yeah, 143 out of it. And then when she, the lady, when she was leaving, and she says, that's when I found out she introduced herself for me. She worked for Pixar Films as well. So, yeah, that was that.
That was an incredible journey, just to butt in there from where you just started something and a little bit of a hint of discouragement because of the numbers attached to it. Mm-hmm. And then you just waited and boom, this is where you are with that same project.
Not necessarily. What happened is that after... she said what, you know, after she gave me that bit of advice, I guess other artists starting to see it and they started to reach out to me to get their documentary done. So they would reach out to me and ask me, can you do a film for me? Because, you know, there's a height of COVID, so people could not go outside. So now artists started contacting me and say, can you do my music video? And I would come up with the storyline and I would get the videos and stuff like that. And I would tell them, you know, can you go shoot this with your phone? And when they send it to me, then I would know what to do in order to get it professionally into the video. So I started as well doing other people's documentary as well as music, other person's music video as well. And then before I know it, here comes the end of 2021. I was nominated I was honored by one of the top 10 magazine as one of the top 500 entrepreneurs in the world. And that is beautiful. I didn't realize till 2022. I looked back and I was like, did you just say in the world? Let me go back and check.
Wow. That is beautiful. It's like you woke up to like, hey, girlfriend, your name is on this thing. What?
Yeah. Yes.
That is amazing. That was a good surprise there for your hard work.
Well, I'm proud to say I'm in a magazine with Elon Musk, who owns Twitter. I'm in the magazine with Elon Musk and persons like Whitney, Oprah Winfrey, and other persons. So, yeah, here I am.
That is good. Mm-hmm. And as an award-winning filmmaker, how do you actually choose your projects with people? What influences your decisions on those projects?
I like deep stories with meaning, you know, that can really help the masses. I like historical things as well. Doesn't mean that I just would want to do historical things because right now I have persons in Jamaica that ask me, it's like, oh, you've been doing African. When are you going to do something about Jamaica? And I'm like, I have to make sure that I pick my battle. You know, I can stand up to whatever it is when it comes to my people. Yeah, but that I can't not do the same for Africa as well. But there are important stories to be told. So, yeah, I'm working on a film. I haven't dived deep into it as well because I'm doing a bit of research and persons who are getting me some research as well based on Jamaica. And it's going to be quite interesting. It's two films. One is a short film and one will be a feature film.
That is beautiful. I can't wait to see those. Mm-hmm. And speaking of projects that you're working on the film. What mm-hmm. other projects on your different hats that you wear are you currently working on as well? Because as long as I'm the Dr. Empress, you can't do mm-hmm. one thing.
The poetry has taken a bit of my time. I wouldn't say that's the only project that I'm working on, but here, the poetry took a bit of my time because they are personal life stories, and it's not like when you talk about the experiences, some of them are traumatic. So you have to put yourself, in order for me to write that poem and get that message across, I have to put myself in that situation. So I now have to go back and remember the things that happened that time. Right. So even with doing those poems, it took me to a place where it's like, okay, I have to put myself in that position to write the poems. They're very interesting, I tell you. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So, like, sometimes for myself, mm-hmm. when I do write some poems and I kind of piggyback on other people's experiences, I can imagine facing my own fears and writing. Those were the toughest part of writing anything.
Yeah.
When you feel you ran away from that experience or that memory, and now you want to showcase it to the world through writing, you have to go back there. That is scary. Mm-hmm. And if you can conquer it, it's actually rewarding when you get out of it later.
Yes.
So I can totally relate to that part of you writing that. So was that your biggest challenge when you were writing a poetry book?
It's different stories because, you know, it's from childhood, then you have to go through teenager, then you have to go through adulthood, and just thinking of the various experiences over time, it actually can create a toll, you know, in terms of who you are and what it is that you bring to the master. So, yeah, it took a little bit of time on certain subjects as well. On certain subjects as well. And it's an anthology of anthologies, you know. Originally, the plan was to just do 9 inspirational stories that I've been through to share with the masses. But then I thought about it and I was like, I have the skills in other areas. Why don't I use it to my advantage as well? And I'm thrust into this industry where it's whatever I do is to get it in the hands of various persons, whether they be in jail, whether they be nursing homes, whether they be in an office setting or just musicians. So I consider the project an anthology of anthologies because I then broke it out into, okay, let me summarize. How do I think about marketing and promotion wise and getting this book in, you know, to persons? So what I did was I decided to do the poem based on each chapter, summarize it, and to do it in form of a poem. However, outside of that, I have a song as a songwriter. Yeah, a song that's written for each chapter. And that will be in the form of an album that will come out in August. And as well, a play that's based on the book. So that play will be for September.
Mm-hmm. That is a massive project, Empress. That is really massive. And yes. These all stem from the book.
These all stem from the book, yes.
That's beautiful.
And it's still not my book. It's in my official book. I am still planning on the release date. It will not be for 2023, but the the book that's coming in July is just 8 of those stories that's based on things that I had to overcome to be where I'm
at.
That
takes a lot of courage to put up all the things you're about to share with the world, your personal experience, and that. And thank you for that courage. So what do you hope to achieve in putting out those? What is your greatest, what would happen that would make you feel, okay, this happened, this is my greatest achievement and the reason why I actually put myself out there? What is that thing you're looking forward to or excited about when you think about your project?
Well, again, my biggest thing is that I'm a humanitarian, and whichever project is actually, again, helping others to overcome things that's going on in their life. I say that to say this, in 2020, at the height of COVID, coaching a high school, and two of the athletes committed suicide.
Oh my.
And I had to say to myself, at your age, why would you commit suicide? You haven't experienced life yet, you know? And I think if I can save someone with knowing exactly the things that I've been through, and I'm still here and I'm still pressing on, because it's a lot. Trust me, it's a lot. Yeah. But I was a miracle since birth. And my book that will come out in the future, again, it's not going to be for 2023, but that one will have more substance as well. And that book is called Miracle Baby, because I was a miracle from birth. And there are so much miracles that happened throughout my lifetime. I was a miracle from birth because I was born weighing 1 pound, 1 ounce. I was born at 5 months, 3 weeks. And my mom delivered herself.
Wow.
During that experience. So it was a miracle from birth. And then there are other miracles that, you know, will show throughout whatever. I don't want to give anything away. but I have at least 4 experiences where I couldn't walk. And one of those experiences, I was told that you don't have long to live. But I'm here 14 years later, still alive.
Doing big things with your life. That is tremendous.
Yes. And I'm with whatever it is that I do, I think that it's not, how should I say it? I'm here on a mission. I definitely know I'm here on a mission. And not so many persons can say it because they haven't experienced the higher realm of spirituality to let them know exactly you're at a certain point in your life and you're here for a reason. But for me, I know in truth and in fact that I'm here for a reason. And I asked to still be here for that reason, to change the less fortunate or even persons that are fortunate just as myself along the way. Yeah. So
that is beautiful, Miss Empress. I just wanted to say that to you because you don't want to give a lot away, but it doesn't take it doesn't take much to know that your life is a whole series of stories, challenges, and each of those, it looked like, oh my God, I can come out, and then you just come out of it.
Yes,
the pain, the growth, the process, the journey, and everything that you had to go through to be the woman you are now and the woman you would be in the future.
Yes.
It's a lot of inspiration, not just for me, but for a lot of persons you have reached with your humanitarian activities, your businesses, your writing, everything. So what message would you want to share with a young lady who has a lot of dreams, a lot of things they want to do, but are hooked up with one challenge or the other, or drowning in depression one place or something? What message would you want to give to them about the hope that you are strongly a representation of?
Well, the first thing is that a message I would say is that it's okay to seek help, right? a win for myself. I'm from this Western world or this philosophy where it is that my culture does not believe in that. So try being in situations where I've been in and it's like, oh, but we could, oh, no, I'm good. Right? And then you, because it is that the culture that you grew up in and because of your experiences and how what it is, you are, you now are left to experience that on your own. So that in itself is huge. But to anyone who is listening that's been through a hard time, that's going through depression and depressing times, it's okay to seek help, whether it be through a professional and or other persons as well. But when you talk about other persons, you also have to be very careful if you consider that you're going to be speaking to persons that are your friends and stuff like that. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes you too take someone as a friend, but that friend doesn't see you as a friend. So yeah. Then you may open up and talk about something and they take it to a bigger audience, you know, and that's not what you were expecting. That could actually create more damage. So that's why the route is always there to go to a professional where they are bound to not share the information that you have given to them rather than telling your friends and they go tell 5, 10, 15 other persons about what you're going through as well. So it's always okay to seek out, but don't give up as well. Do not give up. Just keep pressing on. There's, as my mom always says, there's always somebody out there that's worse than you. There is always someone out there that's worse than you. I know exactly. You may be going through something, but there's always somebody out there that's suffering worse than you are. So don't think it's the end.
That is a powerful message right there. Thank you so much, Dr. Empress. And as we all know, she is a woman with a lot of heart, and she's not afraid to wear anyone. As long as it's going to help someone, as long as it's going to reach out to somebody and make them better than where they were, she would do it. And it's a very good privilege and honor to have you here. And last bit of things we want to actually talk about with you is your journey in the podcast and radio industry. How did that happen?
A few years ago, actually 4 years ago, before we get into the 4 years thing, ever since high school, I was always, persons have been asking me to, would you consider yourself like on radio and stuff like that? I was like, no, I don't want to do radio. And that was the furthest thing from my mind. I want to run track. I want to have my own business. I don't want to do radio. And I just kept on saying that, even though at one point in high school, I wanted to be a meteorologist or to read news, on air. So when persons kept on telling me about radio, I was like, no, I don't want to do it. So fast forward to like 4 years ago now, a friend of mine asked me to record a commercial. He said, Rose, just record this commercial for me. I'm going to send you exactly, you know, the station name and you can decide how you want to do it. So I record the commercial. This friend is in Europe. I record the commercial and I sent it to him. And the next morning I woke up, I had over 68 messages. And I was like, oh my God, is he okay? What happened? And wow. I kept on going through the messages. And so I called him. I said, what's going on? And he said, I told you you should be on radio. I played the damn commercial. I played a damn commercial. And persons just keep on sending me all these messages. Who is that? Who is that girl? Who is that voice? Who is that? And so as they kept on asking, like, and I kept on looking at the message and persons asking who I am, where I'm from, and, oh, I hear a Caribbean accent and stuff like that. I was like, whoa, maybe I should do radio. So I said, he asked me to be on his radio. And I says, no, because then I have to commit to a time. So I started, decided to just do my own thing. So I started where it is that, you know, I'm an ethnomusicologist, which means that I study music cultures across the world, as well as the music from each of these cultures I adapt to over time. And I'm familiar with the artists. I'm familiar with the culture that exists within those countries. So I was really big on Africa as well. So I started releasing new songs by various artists that I know on the continent. And as I did the top 10 show, it started to rake in more personalities to the point where, you know, persons just kept on telling me you have to do more. So now I went from persons started asking if they could send their songs to me. And it started off at 150 to 200 submissions a month. And it started to get crazy where it is now like 600 to 800 a month. Like, wait a minute, what am I doing? So now I was forced to like figure out where do I go from here? And when I started doing it, it wasn't a podcast. I was actually using two cell phones to do the show. But when I got to 600, 800 submissions, I was like, no, I have to think of something. So that's when I went to podcasting. And then from there on, the audience, I guess they fell in love with my voice and what it is that I do. if I knew that this voice could make money all these years, I would have been a millionaire right now.
Exactly. I have someone in the audience that would actually share the same sentiment with you right now about the voice and making money, Tico. He's a voice artist with the ABVA platform and also has his own thing doing. And if you hear him talk, you will fall in love with his voice. Like, he is amazing. And when he talks about voice acting and voice talking and voiceovers and do shows, he sounds exactly like you. Like, you fall in love with my voice and will make a lot of money with it.
I gotta check his stuff out.
Yes, indeed. If we all knew what we had hidden in us, the talents that we can give out and make us better for, I think the world would be in a better place. And that is one thing you have also shown with your life stories and the book coming out and the projects you're working with. Mm-hmm. But I just have one last question before we let you go. Is anthology, what exactly influenced your thinking process when you're trying to name your book? Was it part of the experience, or was it something personal that just came to you in the middle of the night, so to speak?
Oh no. Because usually, you know, an anthology is just a set of body of work that actually summarizes the project that you're working on. It could be in the form of songs, poetry, music, so to speak. So anthology was just correct in terms of the project itself, which is, you know, 8 short stories. And you have anthologies that are bigger, and the norm is that, you know, the numbers are bigger in terms of that. But for myself, I always do things out of the ordinary. Because even when you go to, say, poems, when you do an anthology of poems, it's usually 20 or more. But it is who set the rules, and the person who set the rules, they're made to be broken as well. So person, you have seen now where out of the narrative, various persons will start doing 10 poems or 4 poems or whatever and calling it whatever. It's an anthology because it's a period in time that summarizes the various things that happen within a certain period, motivational, inspirational stories as well.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Empress. And that's how we are going to close the curtain with Dr. Empress today. Watch out for her book and follow her on every platform. And Dr. Empress, we are interested in you and we want to follow you. Where can we find you, please? I just followed you on Twitter, by the way. So, yeah. Other places we need to hook up.
Yeah, and as we talk, well, before I get into the social media thing, I released a poem that's currently on the website that I'm using for my anthology. So if persons will go to my Twitter and the post that's pinned there, this is where you would find the poem. The poem itself, just a quick summarization, it talks about the 5 strengths of wisdom. Of course, there are more strengths than the 5 strengths of wisdom. But what it actually summarizes is a period in time when I was forced to come to the recognition that, listen, where I am I going to stay there? And how do I move forward from this place that I am? that period in time had to do with, like I said, the 2004 Olympics, where I was training for my Olympic trials and I got injured. And so being unable to walk, being immobile because of the injury, and was at a place now where it's like, oh, am I going to sit here and not walk again? And in order to do that, it had to pull from a certain strength. Those five strengths of wisdom is being highlighted within the time periods and within each stanza of the poem. So the middle stanza of the poem is where I'm at in terms of writing the poem that is current within the time where I was injured. And the first two stanzas are talking about at least twice when I had to pull from a period of strength, and that helped me to move forward. And the last two stanzas has to do with going forward, here is the strength that I will use. And the very last stanza talk about where I am in terms of that strength. Okay. So the five strengths of wisdom, which is capitalized if you look at the last verse of each poem, is perspective, curiosity, judgment, love of learning, and creativity as well. And there are persons that may think that the big C in creativity, as you go towards the end of the poem, it is not the actual C that's in the word creativity. There's actually a creative test that tells you which how creative you are and where you belong. There's little C and there's big C. And I am within the big C, which means that I am a creative that can take on other creative processes and still do them at the same time. Not everybody is able to do that. They're actually experiments, and they're actually, there's actually experiments, and there's actually, definitions that go along with this. And one of those tests is called the RAT. RAT, which is the remote association test, that determines if you are big C or little C. So this poem is very deep. Okay.
I can wait to read it after this. I'm just going to head over there and get to it, because I really want to know what C I am. If it's a small one or in between the big and the small. I'm not sure if I'm in the big C.
Yes. So for everyone, you can, if you would like to know if you're little C or your big C, or if you're in terms of your creative, everybody has a creative nature, but you can, this test will tell you. It's called the Remote Association Test, which is, the acronym is RAT, R-A-T, okay? All right. So in terms of my social media, yes, you could locate me right here on Twitter. Dr. Empress Rose. I am on IG as Infinite Empress. Some may say I'm a very interesting person because I'm not fueled by the social media norm that boxes you in and tell you how important you are and you should be on the social media platforms. I also decide when I go on the social media platforms and when I need to get off of it and take a break. So if you follow me, you'll have to pay attention to know like when it is that I'll disappear. And thinking of, there's a few things that have happened within the last few months. I'm still deciding how much of these platforms I will stay on even for the future, because I'm not fueled by the,
the attention, the accolades, and the whole
the attention
shenanigans that comes with social media.
Right. So if you don't have a blue tick, or if it is, how relevant are you if you don't have a blue tick? How relevant are you if it is that they don't see you with millions of followers or whatever? I don't care who follows me. Just when you follow, just know that, it is... You're following someone who will definitely, if you're on my platforms, you will know my personality after a while. Like, it can go from very professional to I don't give a shit. Right? So in other words, it's the real Rose that you're going to get as well.
So, awesome. So when we don't see you post for a while, we should not panic and like, what's going on? We just know, okay, she's gone to recharge. Yeah. Yeah.
No, well, another thing as well, since I was 16 years old, I fast 1 month out of the year. And when I fast that month, I don't use social media. Right. And uh-huh. then I fast every week. I fast at least once or twice every week when I'm on my day off. I'm off on Sunday and Mondays. So usually it's both days or one day.
Yeah. Damn, lady, who are you?
Yes. So, yeah, all that energy, you know, all the things that I do and outside forces, you have to, you know, keep them at bay. So being one with the Most High helps all those things that I do. So I practice that, you know, yeah, that's my
practice. That's amazing. You're spiritual and you mm-hmm. also. Why didn't you tell me that? We would have talked about that. Now our time's up and you're already beeping me too. Your time is up.
It's okay. Yeah. So look out for me on Instagram. On Instagram, my personal page is Infinite Empress. My business page is International Stars. Just like below. Mm-hmm. Business page, INTLSTARZ. You can find that on Facebook. Well, my two pages are hacked on Facebook. Don't send no messages over there. But you can definitely find it on Instagram and Twitter. Somehow they think I'm important. So my pages are hacked on Facebook. Okay?
Oh my God. You are important. I don't know why you say that. You are. You are
important. No, to myself, I know I'm important. But what I'm saying is that people must really think highly of me why you feel the need to really hack my business pages. So I don't have access to my business pages on International Stars because they were hacked. So please don't send me no message over there because the person that would respond is actually someone that may need money. And I ain't got no money to give a hacker, so it's not happening. But whatever, if you want to my personal page, visit Infinite Empress on Instagram until further okay. notice.
Or and you can follow page. Her here.
Dr. Empress Rose, yes.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Dr. Empress. And you have your first follower, I think, from me today. Yes. I hope I'm the first. And it was really a beautiful discussion with you, having to hear you talk. And I must confess, you do have a beautiful laugh. I don't know if your yeah. friends tell you that, but you do have that. And
I just exactly.
You see, she just did it again.
Come I just did a now. Whole interview where the host kept on saying that and said the people kept on calling and saying that. I says, wait, if I knew that years ago, I would have not been broke. I would have had money.
Exactly. but please, please, just for you're not broke anymore, right?
No, I'm not. I must
hallelujah,
say that,
you know? Jesus.
Oh, no. Because, of course because. You know, we talked about the poems, but of course there's a poem in there as well that has, just a giveaway, there's a poem that's based on homelessness. And something else I didn't say, oh my God, there is a, what I did was I like to bring other persons on projects that I do because I'm not a musician that's on stage and could say, oh, I want you to open up for me. But if you work in a capacity of what I'm doing, I always reach out to you and say, I'm working on this project and I would like you to come aboard because I would like to share the love. I do not want to keep the spotlight to myself. So I reached out to one of Ghana's top poets. His name is Kwame Brenia. And he has so much literature and different things that has written about him. He also has an anthology of poems as well. He's regarded as one of the top poets, if not the top poet in Ghana. So for two of the poems, for those poems, there is a instruments that attach or chanting. I included him coming through with the good works as he does on that poem as well. Now, I say that to say this, the homeless poem, I forgot when I gave it to him. He was cracking up, you know, because the poem is based on homelessness, but it's a limerick, okay. right? It's a limerick poem. So a limerick is, that poem is either rude or, what's the word? It is rude or it makes you laugh. And the combination of this limerick poem that I wrote about homelessness, it actually includes both. So I entered it into a competition because I want to see if it's actually that good. But Kwame was laughing and he said, that is it right there. You got it. So look forward to it. Yeah.
I am looking forward to it already because every piece you've talked about right here, I want to see, read it myself, experience it for myself, mm-hmm. and enjoy it and also get the message for myself. And it's beautiful. I'm so excited. We had to have this discussion with you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And if you're just joining, this is APVA, and we love everything that has to do with podcasts and voice artists. We are the Association of African Podcasters and Voice Artists, and we are community-driven, and we seek to actually celebrate, discover, amplify, and give voice to the African industry that has to do with podcasts and voice and audio creatives. And we have Dr. Empress here. We are looking forward to her book and to all of her films, music, and everything that has to do with Dr. Empress. In the mm-hmm. future, you can please follow her here on Twitter. Find out what kind of creative spirit you are. Just the word spirit is making me remember her fasting mm-hmm. once in a year, in a whole month, and then one or two, twice in a week. She's spiritual, y'all. And keeping it cool, calm, and collected, and that's Dr. Empress. So this is APVA. Please do follow us on every of our social media platform. On Twitter, IG, and on Facebook. And you can go to website apvar.africa/opportunities to actually see a lot of opportunities we have for you. If you're into the radio or podcasting space. And to our collaborate Kwame from Ghana, we love you. I wish you were here to share your experience. What happened writing the piece with Empress. But we do love you. And I do have a request here. Colin Murray wants to speak to Empress, I suppose. I just approved you. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, me or him? You're being for Colin.
Okay. Colin is trying to maybe speak to you or ask a question or something. We don't know. Let's hear.
No problem.
I'm trying to approve and it's not letting me do that. Rejoice, if you can hear me, please, can you accept his approval? Yeah. His request, Just give him the mic.
While we're waiting on Colin, there is the poem as well. There's an audiobook with the poem, and that audiobook will give an insight. It's not giving away everything because then it wouldn't make any sense to release the book in July. but what it does, it gives... it further summarizes that poem that to tell you about what it is for, you know, to give shed a little bit more light on it. And on the audiobook itself, it's basically I'm reciting each poem and I will give a summarization of the situation that led up to that point. Just a brief situation. In the book, when it comes out in July, it has a more explorative definition or summarization in terms of what transpired within those periods and what makes it motivational and inspirational. But the audiobook itself, you're able to recite the poem because someone can clearly read a poem, but to put words and meanings behind it is also important. So I then decided to do the audiobook where I would recite each poem.
Okay. So Empress, can you just... If it's okay, read one of your poems for us. Like, deliver your poem to us, one of it.
Oh, Lord. She put me on this. Okay, so I had sent one to Rejoice, but maybe she didn't. I'm going to, I know that you guys can hear me, so I'm going to do it on the speaker.
Yeah! God, you got a good voice. Oh my.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Can you guys hear?
It's about tapping into your interpersonal.
Can you have this here?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, good.
Interest. Of course, we're talking about the five strengths of wisdom. Kudos to the day I learned that my black beauty is skin deep. Give thanks. I was 5 years old. My wisdom is my perspective, me. Kudos to the day I learned that change is good, inevitable. Give thanks. I was 13. My wisdom is my curiosity. Me. Kudos to the day I learned that my open mindedness is critical thinking. In hindsight, give thanks for that injury. My wisdom is my judgment. Me. Kudos to the day I learned that the authentic me is truly authentic. Give thanks, surprise. Just me being me. My wisdom exhibits my love of learning. Me. It's a brand new day. Welcome to the enhanced me. I learned that my circumstances afford me a seat at any table. My life's work is intact. Wait for who? Wait for a nigga to celebrate me. No shade, but my wisdom spotlights the big C in creativity. Round of applause. Give thanks. Me.
Yes, that's it.
That is beautiful. I can see myself actually being in a cool jazz club, having you do that. That is so
very awesome, because it is that I am requested in South Africa for a tour, a college and university tour, to debut my book of poems. So I'm looking forward, working out the kinks right now. But it's kind of interesting because I did not see this when I first started the project. And as I wrote the poems, I said, you know what, it will make sense because persons will see the poem, but they do not know, like, how does it read? So it'd be good to do the audiobook where it is that you can reference the poems and could have it as other, you know, spoken word EP or album that you would add up to in terms of debuting the different ones as well. So that is Five Strengths of Wisdom, and that poem is an ode. ODE. So there are different variations. That one is an ode. Okay. And with an ode,
that is beautiful. I'm sure the rest of the people in the listening space right now enjoyed that.
Right. When you write an ode, you're actually praising a person, event, or thing. So in this case, I'm praising myself. Why not?
If not?
So, yeah. So you have praising yourself or a thing or another person. So I chose myself.
And that's the best part of it, because you need a lot of praise and you've gone through a lot. And if nobody can voice it out, just like a redneck in African culture, he does it himself. So that's what you just did. And that is amazing. It was really beautiful. I had to stand up and sway to the rhythm. It was really beautiful. Thank you so much once again for choosing Abver and sharing your wisdom, your talent, your creativity, your experience with us. Thanks to your friends who are on the platform, Kolawole, Ras, the International Stars, and I think that's from you too, Colin. We tried to get your request. I don't know if you cancelled. So to Team Vera Jones and to Andrea and to those who dropped off earlier, thank you everyone joining the space, listening to Empress Stories and also listening to me. Thank you. So to come your way again from all the way from Abver on this space, stay tuned. Please do follow Dr. Empress and let's hear and love and share and with her experience and get a lot of messages from her. Okay. So Empress, any final words?
Yes. I just encourage persons, if you'd like, you can follow me again on Instagram, Infinite Empress, right here on Twitter, Dr. Empress Rose. If you would like to stay in touch in terms of the anthology, as I will be debuting more poems and I have more interviews. I actually have 22 interviews for the month of April. And I have another interview that's coming up on Tuesday, where it is our debut, another poem within that interview as well. please follow me, all things, so you can learn about the upcoming interviews by clicking the post that's pinned to the top of this Twitter. You can click on that link and you can learn more about the upcoming interviews if you would like to visit and listen to other interviews. As well, I'll be giving away a few signed copies of the anthology of poems. So you never know. So an audience member.
You never know.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. This is where we draw the curtain. Thank you so much also for inviting me as the co-host of the show. I really do appreciate it. To every wonderful person here, let's have a beautiful rest of the day, whatever time zone you're in.
Thanks to everyone who came through to support. I appreciate it wholeheartedly to tell this story. 1, 2, 3. To tell this story so many times with the persons that are listening, it would be rather difficult. So it's great to do it in a group setting where you can hear exactly what it is all about. Thanks to APFA. Thanks to everyone who showed up. I appreciate it. I do not take it for granted.
Awesome. So on that note, good night, everyone, from my end.
Thank you for listening to the episode. Become a member of ABVA today. Visit abva.africa to learn more.